Okay, I will repeat. I know it's okay. Don't worry. So as mentioned just now, today is the 3rd of January 2017. It is our first puja for the year 2017, and it has its great significance and auspiciousness too. We are first, it marks our 2 year. This is the 3rd year of special puja, where we started our special puja for the Bodhisattva Way way back in the year 2015. It's also January, first week of January, the first puja, and that one coincides with Kuan Yin's birthday, I remember. Then today one also auspicious in the sense that it's the first Tuesday. Then, of course, Mimi told us it's Chua Chong Ming's birthday. That's why very special. Oh, Chua, come. Sadhu, sadhu. Today your son's birthday, very special. So we rejoice. Then this special puja also marked the kick-off of our new year. 2017, where we can have our New Year resolution and all those things. Then we should thank Sister Padmasuri for all the time reminding me about this date and suggesting this special puja, where all of us can partake in the wholesomeness. It is going to be very meaningful. I will elaborate on it later. So today we will get all the young ones and those who seldom come to help light the incense and the candle. Okay, I need 6 of you to help me. So the 4 kids and Chua seldom come also. Girl, come. Then Chong Ming, Chong Lim, then what Xiong already? Xiong Jie, Xiong Jie, sorry, every time I cannot recall. Xiong Jie. Good, that lighter not so good. Use this one. That one very difficult to light. No, anyone, we got 6 of this. Then Chua, come, Chua. Mimi, lai la. Yi jia ren. Mimi, yeah. Tian Teng. Brother Heng also here. Hong Kia Ke Chilao Chai. Brother Heng, come. You seldom come. Never mind, come. Mimi, I put one more for you. Don't worry. Chua, lai. You seldom come. Don't worry. You help us to do something which will allow you to accumulate a lot of wholesomeness. Chua should light the candle. Come. Sorry, the incense. Thank you. Brother, lai. Chua, the incense. Mimi, lai tim jo. Tha the lotus lai la. Sadhu. Pass naga lighter ke Mimi. Thank you, Chua. Thank you. No problem. You can offer to anyone. Here lah, maybe. Fang这边. No. Kuan Yin here. Okay. The rest of us can stand. We start the puja. This one must be Vincent, if I'm not wrong. Vincent and Anna. Yun Chan, come. You got anything to offer? Come, Raymond, come. We haven't started yet. Bring your offering. Take your time. Put on a plate. Start with the tray. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, 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 那个 like, sadhu, 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 那个 puja, sadhu, 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 like, sadhu, 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 maybe offer this one, huh? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we offer the rest of the offering. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can start our puja. Let us compose our mind, huh? develop the faith, the sadha, virya, spiritual zeal, then we shall mindfully commence the puja offering. For those who are new, maybe the Engbi-san, first time you are here, we have to explain to you a little bit. When we rejoice, we use the word sadhu in Pali. If you anything you cannot understand or what, you go back ask your mom. She is very good. Don't worry. So when we sadhu means we rejoice with all the goodness, the wholesomeness, the generosity and kindness of what people do, the offering, the joy, the sincerity, everything we rejoice. So your mind will have this goodness, kindness in you. Then this mind state is very conducive for you to have the good feeling inside. And the energy is very positive. It can make you beautiful. And it can also strengthen your faith, your confidence, your immune system, everything. Okay, now we will commence our puja. If you don't know how to recite, you just silent. Maintain the silent mind, the faith. Then it will benefit you. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Bow. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Bow. Okay, then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We shall commence the puja chanting. Page 1. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. สุราเมรายามัจจาปะมาดัตตานะเอรามานิสิกขาปะดังสมาธิยามิ We are now chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganda sarapaditena dipena tamadangsena tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena dupenahang suganghinaPujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana muthamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindas Siri pada sarorohePujemi buddha kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante.Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muttamang Adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muttamangAdivasetu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Then turn to next page, page 5. This one is very useful. We invoke our understanding of the significance of all this offeringThen we reflect on it and make aspiration out of it. So we will now start with understanding the significance of offering of light to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel of all darkness of ignorance therein.Then significance of offering clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Then significance of offering of incense. The virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense.Which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration.Power of all these merits, born of these offerings, spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened till they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Then after that, we will start our chanting of the Heart Sutta and Great Compassionate Mantra. Okay, mindfully compose your mind. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, to mark the third anniversary of our Bodhisattva way, or Bodhisattva path, and the Bodhisattva vow. We have been doing this continuously, like I explained just now, for 3 years. This is our third year. It started off in, I think, the first week of January, the year 2015, where Padmasuri made that request, and a lot of Kayamita at that time also wrote to me. Then because of condition, then I agreed to the special puja. Then since that day until now, it has taken off in a very, very phenomenal way. And a lot of Kayamita who has the affinity and the understanding, they will understand. Then there are more and more of this awakening of consciousness that has enabled many to have this resolve. And over the last 2 years, it has actually grown beautifully. So today, as usual, we are having this special puja. Then later I will explain a few more things to tie up with our new year. This is our first puja for the year 2017. So Tuesday class, get to hold it. Okay, I will pass the mic to Asong. And Padmasuri got the one that create the rhythm for you. We call it the tok tok. Okay. The mic, pass the wireless mic. Never mind. It's at the back of your chanting book, the Heart Sutta, together with the Great Compassionate Mantra. It's on page 19 or 18. 19. The Great Compassionate Mantra, Tapecho, is page 19. Then after that, followed by the Sing Ching. So maybe Great Compassionate Mantra one time, Sing Ching one time. Okay, you can start.
Yeah. 菩提萨埵婆耶，摩诃萨埵婆耶，摩诃迦卢尼迦耶，唵萨婆赖伐伊，苏丹那丹谢，南无悉吉利多依蒙阿利耶，婆卢揭帝释佛来楞陀婆，南无那赖谨墀，悉利摩诃般多萨弥，
萨婆诃他都苏
频，尔时于
萨婆萨埵，
南无婆萨埵，
南无婆伽摩伐帝
都，
但
智他安阿婆卢悉，
卢迦帝迦卢帝，依悉利摩诃菩提萨埵，
萨婆萨埵摩来摩来，摩悉摩悉利陀云，俱卢俱卢揭蒙，嘟噜嘟噜发瑟耶帝，摩诃发瑟耶帝，哆来哆来帝利尼，释佛来耶，则来则来，摩摩发摩来，摩帝利依悉依悉，
舍奈
舍奈，阿赖僧佛赖舍利，发萨发僧
佛赖舍
耶，呼噜呼噜摩赖，呼噜呼噜悉赖，
娑
赖娑赖悉利悉利，苏噜苏噜菩提耶，菩提耶，菩陀耶，菩陀耶，弥帝利耶，那赖谨墀，帝利舍利奈，
婆
耶摩奈，萨婆诃，悉陀耶，萨婆诃，摩诃悉陀耶，萨婆诃，悉陀喻依室盘赖耶，萨婆诃，那赖谨墀，萨婆诃，
摩
赖那赖，萨婆诃，悉赖舍那摩揭耶，萨婆诃，
萨婆
摩诃阿悉陀耶，萨婆诃，
则
利赖阿悉陀耶，萨婆诃，
波陀摩揭
悉陀耶，萨婆诃，
那赖
谨墀盘揭赖耶，萨婆诃，
摩
婆利僧揭赖耶，萨婆诃，
南无诃赖耽那多赖耶耶，
南无阿利耶，
婆卢揭
帝娑盘赖耶，萨婆诃，安悉殿多曼陀赖跋陀耶，萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃，揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧， 揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧。揭谛菩提萨婆诃。观自在菩萨行深般若波蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄，舍利子，色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色。受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色受想为诸法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无明亦无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道无自依，无得已无所得故，菩提萨埵
波若
波罗蜜多苦，心无挂碍，无挂碍故无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提。
故知
般若波罗蜜多四大圣众，四大明众，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦恨，是不随故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧。揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧。揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧。揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Thank you, let us rejoice.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, I will do the invocation to the devas. Then we can start our special puja come New Year session. Okay, turn to page 6. I will read to you the significance of this invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Pass this mic to Ingby. Huh? Yeah, we will recite together with Ingby. Huh? She will lead.
Samanta Chakravalisu Achagachantu Devata Sadamang Munira Nantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijjacharana Sampanno Sugato Rukavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarathi Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditago vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Nyāyapatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Michipatipanno Bhagavato Sāmakka Sāṅgho Yatidāṃ cattari purisa yugāni Atta purisa pugala Esa Bhagavato Sāvakka Sāṅgho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Bedang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. Thank you so much. Huh? You all can be seated. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we shall start off with some sharing on the significance of this first special puja for the year 2017. Go. No problem. Go. I see you tomorrow. See you. Bye. Okay. Go. They got activity at the Sunway College. He's still studying there. So maybe just want to bring the boy to come and meet up with me actually. But it coincides with our special puja. So that's why he has to partake at least the beginning. But it's beautiful. Today I think we have the most kids. But they are not kids anymore. They are quite mature actually. But it's rare to have people of such young age to have this type of good interest in the Dhamma. So I really rejoice. Then some of them are because of their special past, special affinity and all those things. Okay, so tonight maybe I will share something with you all. I saw in the program Padmasuri put there. What was it? New Year message or what? Oh wait. I just look at the thing first. I also forgot what the title was. Where did we put it there? Kayanamita, Is it Kayanamita? Oh, Tuesday also have, Kayanamita. Wow. How come I don't have the latest one? You forward to me one is your personal one, I check that one. Maybe I deleted some of them because too many. I have here. Okay. So we're supposed to have arrival of Kayanamita at 8 p.m. Then the puja, followed by our great compassionate mantra and heart sutta, 8:15 onward. Then we just finish. 8:45, New Year address from Brother Theo. So now we exceeded 9 minutes, no problem. Because today, no Dhamma session. So it's supposed to be a New Year address. But I had to explain the significance of the first puja, as I explained just now, to the group that arrived earlier. It is something that we have done for the last 3 years. It started with the year 2015. I think 2nd of January, if I'm not wrong. It's either 2nd or 3rd. Where there were conditions at that time. The causes and conditions were very strong. For no reason, the end of the year 2014, the last 2-3 months before the end of 2014, around the time of our gathering of Kayanamita, I remember the October month, I received a lot of email suddenly from Kayanamita individually sent to me to find out more about the Bodhisattva way. And some of them, suddenly the resolve came, and they themselves also don't know why. They say under their normal state of mind, they will never have this type of thought, not to say write to me to request. But somehow things happen. Then he wrote to me. Then my nature is very, very sensitive to all this. Then my nature realizes there are causes and conditions for things to happen. Because this nature only accords and flows, it doesn't do anything because it has got nothing to do here. Yeah. The vow will manifest by itself. When condition arise, it will arise. That's why there is no rigidity behind all this. There is no such thing as somebody doing. This nature manifests through a form and a mind, which you call Brother Theo, this life. Eh? This form and mind, or the so-called human form that this nature takes for this segment of the life. This one is the functional body, karmically conditioned out for this nature to come and to use. Then this one, because it is a tool and a vehicle, and it can do whatever it is already vowed for or destined for through causes and conditions. That's why this one, because it's connected to that nature, and that nature has its understanding. It has developed that understanding to incorporate all this into the nature's law that will arise and manifest by itself. That's why when the time comes, it will arise. Then when it arises, all the things that it needs, it has, will come with it. That's why it's just like when you remember the fifth daily contemplation that Sakyamuni talked about, the karmic nature. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So this one is perfectly true for our karmic nature. So this form of mind, subject to karma. That's why it's born of karma, heir to the karma, conditioned and supported by it. And it is what it is because of that. And because you walk this way, you cultivate it. Your nature is different. Your karmic nature is different. That's why when it comes, this form of mind inherit everything. That's why when I reflected back and looked back, like everything is already there for me, for this nature. Basically, I didn't do anything. Everything just fall into place. Yeah. Then when condition arise, it will just know how to arise. But the spiritual nature is slightly different. You have to have the condition to develop the ability to connect. Means you have to have the condition to cultivate the Dhamma so that you can realize the true mind, the silent mind. Then when you have the ability to connect, that is the beginning of receiving of the spiritual nature. That's why this spiritual nature you can only tap, or it will only come back to you, your inheritance, when you have the condition to connect to your true nature, your true mind. Yeah, this spiritual nature cannot come through the mundane mind or thinking mind. It has to come through that nature, which can only be accessed through the true mind, the pure mind. And this true mind or pure mind, that nature, can only be connected when there is a vehicle and a tool, the form and mind that you come with, karmically conditional. Without that, it cannot connect. That's why you need this form and mind. Although it's impermanent, little suffering, non-self, empty, but this is a very beautiful vehicle. So that's why when it connect, not only karmic you inherit and receive, the spiritual cultivation and understanding will come back to your nature. That's how this life, this nature of mine, is suddenly connect through in the year 1989, and he understands so many things which I used to share with you. I never learned this life. None of my teacher or guide taught me. I learned some form of Dhamma from them, just through listening, nothing else. There is no special class or what. Then when that thing unfolds, the understanding just arises. So likewise, this pre-puja is the same because of that ability of this nature. It senses that there are causes and conditions for the bodhisattva way to come forth. That's why that year, when Padmasuri made that request, even before that date for the special puja, I already knew. I said, yeah, can. I said, not only you, many wrote to me. Then I say, why not we call one? So she helped me to arrange that special puja. And for your information, every of this special puja, we use our Kayanamita fund to make offering for the main offering, the flower and all those things. And I also booked some, through my wife, booked some nice bihun from Vincent's wife, Anna. She's here tonight. So those who have attended some Tuesday class earlier on where you have tried her bihun, you will know it's something very special, very unique. So we also use Kayanamita fund to actually order it for you, everybody. So that all Kayanamita, whether you are here or not, you get to partake in this wholesomeness. But I also rejoice with all those who brought offering today. Then those who helped to light up the candle, the incense. We also rejoice, and it's very wholesome. Then when you partake in the ceremony, in the special puja, when you do your chanting with faith, when you send out all this vibration, when you chant the Heart Sutta, the great compassionate mantra, when we do the invocation to the devas, when we renew our precept, when we rejoice, when we recall to mind the Triple Gem, the salutation to the Triple Gem, all these are very, very wholesome, and it paves the way for a lot of things to arise. Then now we have our Dhamma session where we have our this sharing or this special puja. So this is just to give you a slight background on what this thing is. Then since that year, 2015 January, I remember the second, I expounded the Bodhisattva way. I gave my first delivery of the proclamation of the Bodhisattva way. Then later on, there were two or three occasions of requests in between for the Bodhisattva vow to be given. So this Bodhisattva vow is very important because this nature knew. And this Bodhisattva vow is not just the vow. It includes the resolve to have the right views with regards to three very important things. The understanding of the law of karma. Then the understanding of how your mind actually functions as a human being. And the aspect of the form and mind, which is different from the nature. And finally, of course, the essential Dhamma. So it's Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. And this one, the understanding of it, the right view, we have to make strong affirmation or aspiration or determination to vow. To have this understanding life after life, whenever this form and mind need to arise or have to arise. So this is something which will pave the way for many of you who earlier on walked this path. But because there is no condition to understand this special affirmation, that can be of great benefit to your form and mind. Whenever it comes or it has to come from now until the future. Because, like I explained, this Buddha Sasana, where the Buddha's teaching is still around, even for Sakyamuni Buddha, is only 5,000 years. And because he admitted the Bhikkhuni order is supposed to last for 4,005, we already breached 2006. We are left with 1,009. So this Sasana is not going to be very long. And if you come back and take birth as living being or human being, even if you have condition, to come into contact with the Buddha Sasana. You may not have that many life, understand? But because of this vow, this affirmation of truth, the clang talk that I gave is very relevant. If you got time, you listen to it. So this affirmation will ensure, even if the Buddha Sasana is no more, should you come, your nature, your form and mind will understand this. Because you develop the affirmation by the power of merits and wholesomeness through your sincerity, your faith and your understanding. It will be very, very powerful. You plant the seed of Bodhi deep in your nature, and this is going to flower beautifully. And it will arise by itself through causes and conditions for you to understand. And your form and mind will understand. And it will continue the cultivation, whether Sasana is there or not. This way, you will progress very fast. But it demands a lot of understanding, a lot of faith, a lot of sincerity and perseverance. When you have that, you are beautiful. You will be beautiful. Otherwise, like most of the cultivator, even the Bodhisattva, the initial stage of cultivation, most of them, they determine and they are very strong in their faith, in their sincerity and perseverance. But because they didn't make this affirmation, when their form and mind arise, when there is no Sasana, they will fall again. You have to cultivate until you reach the 8th stage of Bodhisattvahood training. There are 10 stages of Bodhisattvahood training. The 8th stage is called the stage of non-regression. When you hit that one, you will never fall back. But that one takes very long. So before you can rely on that, you have to rely on this affirmation, which this nature of mind discovered very useful. That's why this nature of mind has perfected that particular perfection of Adhitthana. It knows how to use that very well. Yeah. And because of that, there is condition to share this particular life or this era. So because of condition, a lot of things happen. So ever since 2015, when we started, the Bodhisattva way has taken off beautifully. And it was so strong for the last 2 years. Then this year, just before the Kalyanamitta gathering, it felt that a lot of things is going to happen because condition and causes again arise. And there were many signs because through my sharing, my nature knows a lot of this type of sharing recently that come out over the last few months. It's never meant to be for normal living being. It's meant to be for the higher cultivation, the higher practice, the Bodhisattva way. That's why now, through the transcript, you will come to know the next two transcripts that is coming out, especially the one that we had 27 November 2016 at Wu Ping Ching Se, the 36th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. That one is a very powerful one. That one must come out so that people understand clearly what that meditation is. You don't have that understanding, it's very difficult. Because meditation is not what people think. It's not about going to retreat, training yourself very hard, sit, walk and cultivate, develop the fantastic mind state, the fantastic peacefulness, the calmness, the clear mindfulness within, no thought. But as long as it's in a conditioned state, that is not a free mind. Your mental hindrances are all still suppressed. you still cannot develop the real wisdom. You still cannot free your mind. Today, I think I sent out one part. You are receiving one short part. When I was editing the transcript that people sent back to me, these people are very good. Brother Sia, two also Sia. One is the Perth Sia, the other one is our Klang Sia, then Ponchi. Their English are very good. I didn't know until they pick up all those. You know, my colloquial style, I always show, then add them, then can understand or not, can follow on. Then a lot of the grammatical thing that they are very good. And most of them, they spotted the same thing that can help improve the thing. So hopefully this transcript, the English is going to be a lot better. Then I can understand why they are so good, because when they read that, they know this is not English. This is Bahasa Pasar or spoken one. Only Malaysian can understand you. Like we always use ladet lah, like what? Because we are so limited in our expression. And because of that, when I went through, I saw this paragraph. I read to you, you will understand. This one is very beautiful. How many of you have read? Where did it go? How come not here? Is it in the Maikayamita? I think it's in the Maikayamita. There's a picture there or not? Yeah, initial sharing. It's not in the Maikayamita. Got it? How come I don't have it anymore? Oh, sorry. Kayamita Fun. No wonder I can't find it. Okay, I will go and get the Maikayamita. Well, I was looking at the apps on Kayamita Fun. Okay, now I search easier. Maikayamita. Okay. Initial sharing. Can you also open up that page? Then I will read to you. Brother Teo's closing remark. So under that talk, I gave a closing remark, which is a summary. I said, this is what meditation is all about. Understand it clearly and don't become gullible anymore. That's why I always said you must meditate with understanding. Otherwise, no point. You are wasting your time. You can still be led astray while thinking you have progressed. Your progress is not about how strong your mind is, how beautiful your mind is, or meditation is. It's about understanding via wisdom to free your mind from delusion. When you have that, when you have become more and more mindful, heedful, and the free mind understand, that is the real progress. When avijja paccaya sankhara weakens, less sankhara implies less mental activity, less thinking, more clarity, more awareness and mindfulness, more moment of silence and stillness, and you become more heedful, that is progress. No need to have all those fantastic meditation. When you cannot understand things clearly with every moment of sense experience or sense door contact, your mind will become different. When you can understand things clearly with every moment of sense door contact, your mind will become different. When you return to society and life, it will not stir or react like before. It does not get itself entangled anymore because it has developed the five spiritual faculty and understanding to straighten its view. When you have the five spiritual faculties cultivated, the five mental hindrances will cease to be, and mind will be in the meditative state on its own naturally, because no more mental hindrance to hinder you. It has become a free mind. Hence, no need to concentrate. No need to focus. No need to train. No need to do anything. It will be like that by itself. But you need wisdom, like I explained. You need wisdom. And the spiritual faculties to stay in that state of mindfulness, that free mind. When you understand that, the whole of meditation becomes different. No more according to what they say. All the methods and techniques, sitting and walking, you only need to do when you don't have the spiritual faculties. Yeah. So all this, you will develop the clear understanding, because now it's in the form of transcript. And when it come out, it is going to become very, very powerful and very different. And when you have this understanding and you meditate, you will not go wrong. The key to meditation is heedfulness. The heedful never die. That's why you must have this ability to be mindful in the midst of life. Throughout the day, you are aware, mindful, and heedful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. So this is what I meant by the causes and conditions. Then every other talk, you don't believe me, you go and listen, the reason on. Until Ponchi that helped me to do the editing. There was one talk, I didn't even tell her that you have to do the transcript. She texted me on the personal WhatsApp. She brought you this one also very good. She said, can I do it? She requested. I said, Sadhu, go ahead. So a lot of transcript is going to come out. And they also promised me to deliver to me 3 of the Bodhisattva vow and sharing that I delivered earlier on, together with the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Since that first puja, there are 3. And Ponchi has finished 1. Now Gladys just text me, WhatsApp me. He said, you want me to send through Dropbox or what? I said, no, email. So she also finished her. So there are 2 in hand already. The 3rd one, I think Ponchi is still doing. So all this, together with the help of all the other parameters to do the proofreading, then later on, Brother Tim will help me, and together with Engby, see who is free, to help me to do the final formatting, and also the generation of the pages. I think the indexing, I think, Brother Tim got a good system. It will do by itself. Then later on, Pamasuri will help to do the printing. He already booked the printer. Hopefully after Chinese New Year, you should receive all this. And the Puffs, Brother Sia's wife, Peng also, she is very good. She also had a lot of joy when I sent to seek their assistance to help the proofreading, because their English are good. And she was so impressed by the transcript. She told me she finished 1 and it was so beautiful. He has to read through the 2nd one thoroughly again. Because there were a lot of words that I used and the sharing he never heard before. But she knew it was beautiful where she already cultivated and she has the ability to appreciate and understand. That's why she had a lot of joy. Then she shared a lot of things with me too about how they got good understanding between Brother Sia and her. They give each other the space to cultivate on their own, following their own way, their own timing and understanding. Then, in her own words, to live their life. It's very difficult to have couple who have such great understanding that can actually support each other and allow each other to have the space and the choice to do what they want to do. But both at their age, 70 plus, are striving very hard and sincerely and diligently to develop the cultivation. Whereas Sia is in Sumeru on self-retreat, whereas Peng is in Perth, Australia. Most of the time she is at the Lansley. Last time those who went with, they have a bungalow in Lansley, which they bought very cheap, and that place is very conducive, very quiet. And she also help out in the nunnery, Dhammasala, and also the Jhana group, Achamram there. So they are diligently cultivating on their own. And she understands the importance of mindfulness. She not only can accept what I share in the transcript, she was full of joy when she read those things. Because that daily mindfulness type of cultivation, a lot of things she never heard before. She has never heard before or experienced them before. But when she read, she knew this is what is possible and this is what you should be developing instead of all the calmness, the peacefulness, the jhana, the fantastic meditation and all those things. The insight, the awakening, the wisdom, the understanding at the moment of sense experience. You must have the ability, the stability of mindfulness to see the dependent origination, paticca sammuppada, the link and all those things, and how you become entangled. Yeah. How through delusion it conditions you into negativity and all those things. So these are the causes and conditions. That's why with that, I hope you all appreciate the great condition that you have. And this March retreat, make sure you are there. It's going to help you a lot. And many of you are going to transform. And like I gave last night, we already sent you a very beautiful pure wish for the year 2017. May the year 2017 be a magnificent year of transformation for all Kayanamita Dharma wise. Peng, Brother Sia's wife in Perth, when she received the email, the New Year wish that I sent to her and Brother Sia, she was full of joy. She said, thank you so much. She hoped 2017 will be a year where this magnificent or great transformation will happen, Dhamma-wise. So these are all the conditions and the joy behind. Okay, that is the Bodhisattva way. So now, New Year message. Okay, New Year message, I sit there. Otherwise, my leg... too long. I started 7:30, before you come. Just now I was sharing this book, the seminar book. If you have not read through, you better go and read. Or I see if I have time, I will share this part with you, which is very good. Okay. For the benefit of those who are still young, not that new, but young. I will explain a little bit about the Buddha's teaching, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. I will use this seminar book to explain others. But before that, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome everybody who are able to make it to this special puja, and I rejoice and thank you so much for coming. So that we will have the causes and conditions to be together here tonight to do all this. And this is going to be very wholesome because this recording will help many people. And I would like to also make use of this opportunity to wish you all a very happy and meaningful. And for some, if you want to have wealth, a prosperous New Year. Together with, of course, good health, good life. So when I say good life, it includes everything. Good life means what? Whatever you want in life to be good will be there. If you want good health, it's there. Otherwise, no good life is there. True or not? So good life cover everything. Good career, opportunity, promotion, good family unit, family relationship. Then, of course, good fortune. The Chinese depend on Fuluk Sao. Fuluk Sao. They are very greedy. They want three. Fuk is what? Fuk is? Fortune, isn't it? Luck is prosperity. Sao is long life. Wow, everything also they want. But you have to understand, we can wish, understand or not? I can wish you, but you don't work towards it, nothing much will happen. You understand? Because there are nature's law that governs life and existence. We are born into this universe, a very unique universe, where there are great laws within nature that governs all of life and existence. So if you want all this good blessing, good noble wishes, or good and noble wishes to come true, you have to, on your part, play your role through this understanding of the Buddha Dharma, the teaching. Otherwise, it cannot manifest, understand? Don't go and have this false idea. Hey, Brother Theo already blessed me, wish for me, I sure. And provided you do your part, understand? You must have faith, sincerity, then you persevere and you cultivate diligently, then it will take off. Everything will fall into place. But if you are lazy, not serious, the faith is not there, you still want to revert at times back to your old heedless way, the habitual tendency, then it's very difficult. So this aspect of New Year blessing, wishes and other things can be very meaningful and useful. It can give you faith and other things. It can motivate you. That's why I used to say, if the gathering of Kayanamita can pave the way for Kayanamita to come together, to have this beautiful fellowship, very meaningful fellowship, to support each other's practice and cultivation along the path of Dhamma, then through this sincere sharing, we get to motivate and counsel each other to walk the path of Dhamma sincerely, diligently, and we get to see the joy, the encouragement that come from all this sharing. So the duckling one, later I will send out again tomorrow. I promise you all, but I didn't send because I don't want you ought to be flooded with too many WhatsApp. Last night photo, I think more than 100. I think there was a lot of joy because they were so beautifully captured. So once a year, you must have this style, so-called release in inverted comma, but with understanding, with mindfulness within. You can have it, but you must have this ability so that you can be like a normal person. You can have this joy, this joke, and you can actually do all this. But inside is very different. Inside, fully aware, understand. That's why you will reach the third phase of Dhamma, where you become normal again. Where the first phase, mundane seeing, see mountain is mountain, kan san si san. But as you progress in your cultivation, you realize there is no such thing as mountain. Then kan san, fu si san, means when you see with the direct seeing, it's just that thing, no name, no word, no concept, no mountain. Then your nature becomes different. But then, if you live life like that, you become the odd one, understand? People say, this guy mad one. Everything also not what you think one. See beautiful woman also, not real one, impermanent, all this crazy stuff. But when you hit the third phase, when you can accord and flow, like I explained just now, huh? Means no more rigid. If the mundane one come and say, that's the mountain, beautiful. Oh yeah, mountain, beautiful. Because you can fit it, understand? No? You can also accept that reality. The enlightened one come, no, no mountain. Yeah, correct, no mountain. Because you understand, understand? So whether mountain or no mountain is a convention, depend on your mind state at that time. Then when you understand that, you can be on both sides. You can accord and flow. You are not in a situation where you still want to argue, understand, not, to be right and wrong. So all these are the understanding that will unfold. And when it unfolds, it's very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. So this New Year message and blessing, I hope, can help you all to have your resolve or New Year resolution to maybe improve on what you have developed. Like I said, for most of us, Kailamita, almost every of our years as Kailamita, life has improved and life has become beautiful. And the last few years has been a great, beautiful and magnificent year for most Kailamitas. And we hope going forward this year will be even better. The Chinese song is what? Mandarin song is what? 明天会更好. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding of life, then you can develop the causes and conditions for good life to manifest. That's why you are in charge. No longer like last time, karma is in charge, not you, understand? And you can be afflicted because you don't understand. But when you understand, the form and mind serve you well. It becomes a tool and an instrument for you to use to live life, to cultivate, to develop the understanding of life. And to help you to experience all of the beauty and pristine, the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And all these are possible within your reach, provided you understand the beautiful teaching. So now maybe I will go into that seminar book straight away. Yeah, this seminar book is very useful. It's a long time I haven't shared this. Just now before you all came, I shared with Elsie and Brother Chai's daughter, because she was with the family here at 7:30, very early. So we got a lot of time. So I managed to finish almost 3/4, but since you are here, and there are quite a number of young people, I would like to share this. This book is based on a seminar in Bangkok, the year 2013. I was invited as a Malaysian speaker. The title of the seminar is Success in Life via Meditation. But when I deliver the talk, I add in the word following the Dhamma way. So I read to you the preface or the introduction. This international seminar on life management with meditation experiences as success, dated 10 to 12 August 2013, held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, WBU, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, and the Pipa Liva Naran Mindfulness Center, PMC. And Bertio was invited to present a paper at a set seminar as a Malaysian speaker, basing on some very good feedback and suggestion from seminar participants and Kailamitas who had the condition to listen to his seminar speech or receive his international seminar papers reprinted notes. Brother Teo has finally agreed to allow this international seminar paper to be reprinted in a booklet form for free distribution to those who are interested and has the affinity to receive it. It's Brother Teo's sincere hope and intention that Dhamma friends, practitioner, spiritual practitioner, seekers of truth, cultivators, free thinkers, and devotees will be able to make use of this Dhamma presented in this international seminar to develop a better understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human beings. That can be a blessing to all. Yeah? Then the acknowledgement part. It is the donor's sincere intent, the donor Sadakayanamita Fund, that this seminal paper booklet be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all these Dhamma friends who had donated and helped out in the preparation of this document for free distribution of Dhamma. To make this free distribution of Dhamma or Dana possible, special thanks should be accorded to Sister Padmasuri, Brother Tiu, Sister Ng B, and Sister Ellen Wong for their kind assistance and important contribution in various ways to enable this Dhamma booklet to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental suffering and physical suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends or Kayanamita who has donated and helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible, with metta always. Yeah? So, I will move on to the seminar topic. Opening statement and introduction to the topic. Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, honorable fellow honorable panel speakers, seminar participants, ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all. It is indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experience on success in life management via meditation with all of you on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is experiences and success in life management via benefits of meditation following the Dhamma way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand if we want to realize our highest human potential. Such a seminar can be of great benefit for us to develop the understanding of life, so that we can all cope with the great intricacy and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays, especially so in our today's modern society, where everything is moving at such a fast pace and life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive, provocative, and seemingly harsh. Human suffering are very real and is happening almost everywhere, even to our youngsters nowadays. Then the next topic is understanding life is meaning and purpose following the Dhamma way. To be successful in life, we need to understand what life is. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is so unique and wise because he was able to summarize all of his understanding of life, both the mundane and supramundane, into just four noble truths, which became the essence of his great teaching. He called it the noble truth or Aryan truth. Aryan truth because this truth can make you an Arya or a noble one, which is also an enlightened one. And they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, for they have right views with regards to the laws that govern life and existence. They are also very noble in their way they conduct themselves via their right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. They are incapable of negativity. These four noble truths are so special and unique because understanding them can make a big difference to your life.
It is just like what we had finally understood. Sorry, it is just like we had finally understood the secret of life. And because of that, we will know how to live life, the noble life of great peace, love, joy, and happiness, very meaningfully. The Buddha realized that there are a lot of harsh reality in life that can make living being really miserable, especially the realities of birth and death, leading to the whole mess of suffering. He said, there is a first noble truth of suffering that explains clearly to us the prevalence of suffering in this world caused by the eight realities of life and existence that all living beings, if they live long enough, will have to confront while going through life. Irrespective of your wealth, your status, or materialistic success in life, you will still suffer if you had not developed the requisite spiritual understanding before confronting them. These eight types of first noble truth reality are birth, old age, sickness, and death. They will lead to suffering, separation from loved one and one's possession, like wealth, property, and all those things that we hold on to dearly. They also lead to suffering if we don't have the wisdom. Then to be with people whom we don't like can also lead to suffering. Not able to get what one desire when things don't go our way, or when our expectations in life are not met, is also suffering. And finally, the Buddha said, in short, the five aggregates of grasping, born of self-delusion, is suffering or dukkha. When one confronts this reality without the requisite wisdom, then one will be afflicted and suffering like sorrow, lamentation, and grief. Fear, worry, and anxiety, etc., leading to depression, will be the end result. In our modern day terminology, we call them by different names. We call them the problems of life, like your health problem, sudden death due to accident, traumatic disease, nature's disaster like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, etc., career-related stress, sexual harassment problem, financial problem, relationship problem leading to divorce and forced separation, social and crime-related problem when you are with people whom you don't like. The younger generation can relate to this terminology better. Then, according to the Buddha, there is the second noble truth that explained to us clearly the cause behind all this suffering. The Buddha said craving born of self-delusion is the cause of suffering. When we had understood what suffering is and the causes behind their arising, we will know how to retrospectively manage our life better. But the Buddha did not stop there, for he then proceeded to tell us that suffering need not be, because there is a third noble truth that confirms the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the end of all suffering, and this is most reassuring. The Buddha not only tells us that enlightenment is possible, but he even explained to us clearly how it can be done via his fourth noble truth. He said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate it, it will lead you to the end of all suffering. And this is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist cultivation. This means the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation and solution to all of our life problems. So there is a way to free and liberate our mind from all suffering. This is what most of us will be very interested in. With this Dhamma understanding, we need not worry about life anymore. We can just live life to the fullest via wisdom born of the Dhamma cultivation and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. We can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment via a serene mind in heedfulness. So this is the main intent. Then I am indeed very blessed and lucky because this Buddhist meditation with its great benefit had helped me so much. Not only in my study but later on in my career and daily life too. The benefits of this type of meditation are many. The first obvious benefit is inner peace leading to inner well-being of the body and mind. Nowadays, peace is very difficult to come by for most people.
unless they know how to meditate or train their mind. In time of suffering like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, etc., born of health or other life-related problem, this meditative inner peace leading to inner well-being can really be of great help, or at least provide immediate temporary relief to their mental suffering. Because this inner peace leading to inner well-being is a very positive, calming energy that can help stabilize their mind and boost their immune system, as opposed to the rather negative energy of fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness. The question that is frequently asked is, why are most human beings not peaceful most of the time? Why are they not able to meditate to develop the meditative mind of inner peace leading to inner well-being? According to the Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances of mind, pancha nivarana, namely sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. To overcome them, the Buddha said, we only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty, pancha indriyas, or sadda, virya, sati, samadhi and panya. Panya is the wisdom born of the direct seeing. This is how we start our meditation. We are cultivating the five spiritual faculty to prepare our mind to receive his great spiritual teaching. Also the Buddha's exaltation before his parinibbana to his disciple. Strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless or apamadena sambadeta. This is then followed by Dhammapada verse 21 that states, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Which also stressed the importance of training the mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative, following Dhammapada verse 23. That is precisely the reason why Buddhist meditation is also termed mindfulness or heedfulness meditation, referring to the four foundations of mindfulness, namely Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, Chittanupassana and Dhammanupassana. First, we must train the mind to be silent with inner awareness, so that it can be mindful from moment to moment in daily life, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness needed to understand life. This mindfulness and heedfulness will allow you to see clearly how your five aggregate of form and mind arise in you, how thoughts and feelings arise in you with every moment of sense experience or sense or consciousness, and how they condition each other. That is how your thought condition your feeling, then feeling condition your emotion or craving due to your wrong view or wrong thought, to grasp and cling onto the external phenomenal world created by your aggregates of mind. This is heedless living, leading to all the suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Whereas the heedful silent mind with inner awareness will bring about inner peace and inner well-being of body and mind, as opposed to a heedless mind that is full of thought, fear, worry and anxiety, conditioned by the hindrance of mind, leading to the agitated and restless mind that is never peaceful. With this inner awareness, inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind that can enable us to see things as they are, leading to penetrative insight and wisdom needed for us to truly understand life. This meditative wisdom can also lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now, thereby enabling us to live the noble life that is free of all mental suffering and misery. Once the mind is liberated and no longer deluded, then life takes a turn and becomes not only very meaningful, but also very wonderful and beautiful indeed. One can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment, with full clarity of mind to truly live life to the fullest. This is heedful living following Dhammapada verse 2. As opposed to heedless living that leads to all the suffering and misery in life following Dhammapada verse 1. Suffering are all mind-made. If mind does not deludedly cling to the five aggregates of form and mind as the me and the I and the mind, then there will be no more suffering. Clarity of mind can also allow us to make better decisions in life, thereby enabling us to resolve issues or problems wisely and amicably. One can also concentrate and study better and have good and easy sleep. No more problem with insomnia or sleep-related issue. It can also allow us to plan and do our work more efficiently, thereby helping us in our career life. With all this benefit, we can really be a blessing to all. Our daily life will be very different because the mind is always heedful and peaceful. This will bring us to the understanding of another very important aspect of life, the importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. Now, this part will benefit you when you can understand. As we all understand, life can be correlated to existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time-related. The whole spectrum of time can be defined and divided into the three periods of past, present, and future. Of these three, we should ask ourselves which is the reality. We should inquire deep into them and find out for ourselves which is the reality. Obviously, the past is already gone, so no more a reality. Similarly, future has yet to come, so it is also not a reality. Hence, only the present moment, which is the highest in life, is the only reality within existence. This is also the reason why nowadays emphasis has been placed on the power of now. Even Eckhart Tolle wrote a book on it, and he has become one of the bestsellers for many years. Therefore, the most important question about life that we all need to inquire deeply is this. Moment to moment, life passes by, and this is the only reality in life. What are you doing within each and every of these moments? So when you inquire deep into this, you will know why you are heedless. Why are you not living life? Remember, the Buddha always tell the monk, be heedful, be vigilant. Because if you are not heedful, then you are as if dead, following Dhammapada verse 21. That is spiritually dead, you don't stand a chance. Our mind and our thought move so fast with every moment of sense or consciousness. And if we are not mindful and heedful within the moment, then how can we cope with life? Most of us may know that the moment is the only reality and very important. But the question is, are we mindful of the moment? The problem with the world today is most human beings are heedless, and they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they totally miss out on life, for they never really live. They only existed through life. That is, they are conscious of life, but they are not mindfully living life. Their mind is always preoccupied with their thinking and the thought, which always delude them to cling onto the phenomenal world as very real. Their thought will project into the future to arise the fear, worry, and anxiety, hence creating a false reality for them to cling onto. Likewise, the mind also recalls the hurtful and unhappy past to remind them of their scars of memory, hence triggering of the sorrow and lamentation of the unhappy past again. Not able to see the phenomenal world's three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature, they will continue to hold and cling. And this is the cause of all their misery and suffering and life's problem. Why can't they just silence their mind in heedfulness to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life? Just like the Zen saying, drinking a cup of Chinese tea is a Zen meditation. Because within that moment, there is just the pure awareness of the reality in the here and the now. And there is no thought, so no fear, no worry and anxiety or whatsoever, but just a silent mind in peace and stillness to live and experience all of the wonderful moments with clarity of body and mind, instead of worrying about life. Why do you need to worry about life? Because of fear, right? Even if you worry, you are not going to solve your problem. It will instead create more thinking, leading to more fear and restlessness of mind. And as long as you are not mindful, this heedless thinking will continue to create more delusion in you. Because you do not have the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. That is precisely the reason why we need to train our mind to be heedful, so that it is constantly meditative and ever mindful to insight into the truth, which is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Truth or the characteristics of nature are everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Even though the present moment is the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, which is to transcend birth and death, we need to transcend even the present moment to realize the timeless Dhamma, Akaliko, which is beyond thought, beyond time. This is the ultimate goal of all Buddhist meditation. Then understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. This part, from number 10 onward, I think I leave it to you to read it on your own, because we don't have much time. But the gist of it is, we live in a universe, like I said, where there is this nature that has this set of law we call nature's law that governs life and existence. And when you understand this law that governs your life and existence, you will understand life. You will understand the secret of life. That's why you will know how to live life, and you will become beautiful. And these five universal order, three of them are scientific law, the physical law. Two of them are scientific law. Nature's physical law and biological law, Hutu Niyama and Bija Niyama. Then the other three spiritual law is the law of karma, Karma Niyama, the law of the mind, how you function as a human, how your consciousness arises and pass away, how you function as a human being. They call it Chitta Niyama. Then the last one is the nature's law of Dhamma, which is truth, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught. The Four Noble Truths is one of them that summarizes to you all of life, both the mundane and supramundane. So when you understand that essential Dhamma, you will understand clearly the secret of life. Then his teaching spin off from the essential Dhamma. All of his other essential Dhamma come from the Four Noble Truths. Okay. Then I will move on. Or maybe the spiritual law, I will touch on it. The next three are spiritual law, namely Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Similarly, we are clearly understanding these three great spiritual law of Karma, Mind, and Dhamma. The Buddha was able to excel himself in the spiritual field to understand life so clearly and so completely, thus becoming the Sammasambuddha, or fully enlightened one. It was through his perfection of the understanding of these three great spiritual laws that enables him to proclaim the Dhamma that he had taught us. Take for example the first spiritual law of Karma, Karma Niyama, as the first right view to understand life. In the five daily contemplation as taught by the Buddha said, we must contemplate daily the following, that this body of ours is of the nature to decay, grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. Then this body of ours is of the nature to be sick or diseased, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. Then the third one is, this body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. Then all that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will change and vanish following nature's condition. Then the fifth one is most important. The Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. The first four contemplations allow us to develop the contemplative wisdom to deal with our first noble truth, reality of life and existence. Whereas the fifth contemplation deals with the first right view with regards to law of karma. So karma, which is moral causation, is most important because we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. If we have this right view, then what must we do? We must take care of karma. How do we do it? We must train our mind to be ever mindful and heedful. We are meditation. to enable us to see all our mental intention or cittina behind all our actions, speech and thought process, thereby enabling us to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, to accumulate wholesomeness, the good karma, and meditate to develop the requisite wisdom so as not to be deluded anymore. These are precisely the advice of the Buddha as stated in the Dhammapada verse 183. All evil is to be avoided, cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, then purify your mind. And these are all the advice of all Buddhas. How do we avoid all evil? The Buddha recommends keeping the minimum 5 precepts. Because people who violate precepts are evil people with the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. How to cultivate goodness and blessing? The Buddha recommends cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, starting from right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, etc. So this is how the Buddha's subsequent teaching comes about. And through this understanding, one will be able to understand the secret of life, thus enabling one to truly live life meaningfully. Then there is also Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that talks about happiness and suffering in life. This can be elaborated upon if time permits. Then we have the second spiritual law, Citta Niyama, which is nature's law that governs the working of the mind. Under this spiritual law of nature, the Buddha taught us the Paticca Samuppada, a law of dependent originating, the 12 link. The Buddha said everything that arises is all dependent originating, and there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity or a soul or an atta that is responsible for our thinking, seeing, hearing, etc. For in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. And all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all conditioned arising or cause of phenomena following nature's law. And because of that, they are all impermanent, for dependent on condition they arise, and they will continue to exist if the supporting conditions are there, but they will cease to be once the condition that supported their existence or arising ceased to be. And because they are impermanent, following nature's law, you cannot want things your way, otherwise suffering will be there, will be the end result. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity that we can hold on to or cling on to as the I and the me. Hence, anatta or non-self nature of this so-called human being, or the 5 aggregate of form and mind of ours, if we cling and hold on to them, then it is self-delusion, sakkaya ditti, a very serious wrong view. The third spiritual is Dhamma Niyama, which are the essential Dhamma or truth that the Buddha taught. And the most important one is the 4 Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching that we had already covered earlier on. Then we go on to this more important one, meaning and purpose of life. Once we have understood the nature's law that governs life and existence, then we will know how to prepare ourselves to live our life meaningfully. Without this understanding, we cannot contemplate its true meaning and purpose. To different people, life is different. They have different meaning and purpose. Hence, it varies from person to person. But as a Buddhist, we are indeed much more fortunate, because the Buddha was able to explain to us the secret of life via his enlightenment. The other reason being, they don't quite understand life like us because they don't have this 4 Noble Truth teaching. For somebody who is quite poor, the meaning and purpose of life is just the 3 meal of food and shelter over their head, following Maslow's need hierarchy. But for us Buddhists, we will go deeper into life to pursue the sole purpose of liberation from birth and death, or seeking enlightenment in the here and now, so that all suffering can end, leading to the noble life of a noble one. Because we understand the danger of delusion and ignorance leading to heedlessness, then there are 2 important aspects of life that we have to understand. The 2 important aspects of life. The first one is the mundane or materialistic aspect of life within our existential or conditioned world. followed by the supramundane or spiritual aspect of life that can be realized only after gaining enlightenment. Most people are only concerned with the mundane aspect of life because to them, this is more important, not knowing that without the spiritual understanding, life is still incomplete and suffering can still arise despite their materialistic wealth and materialistic success. This was clearly explained by the Buddha in his proclamation of the First Noble Truth, where he talked about the eight realities of life and existence that can lead to suffering and misery if one were to confront them without the requisite wisdom. This was also precisely the reason why the Buddha-to-be then left the palace in search of the truth to liberate himself from the three signs of old age, sickness and death that he saw prior to his renunciation then. Materialistic success within the mundane life normally refers to first one, academic success or excellence when you are young. Then number two, career success when you come out to work. Three, financial freedom to make you feel secure in life. Then four is to have early retirement to do the things you want to do and like to do. Then the fifth one, of course, having an understanding, good and happy family unit leading to relationship success. The first four types of materialistic success can be realized by most people who are determined and hardworking. But the fifth one is more difficult to achieve because it needs some form of wisdom and understanding. Let us say you are able to achieve all the above materialistic success. But is your life really complete? And are you really happy and safe? What happens when you are confronted with the First Noble Truth reality of life and existence, like old age, sickness and death, etc.? The Buddha said when you are confronted, when you confront them without wisdom, the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted and suffering will be the result, as earlier explained. Hence, one still need to cultivate the requisite spiritual understanding to complement one's life. Otherwise, this First Noble Truth reality, life reality, can still afflict you. Then, the last page, conclusion. My present life in this world was indeed rather blessed. For I not only excel in my academic field, I also reached the pinnacle of my civil engineering career life. I was able to achieve my financial freedom fairly early, and this has enabled me to retire officially from my engineering career life some 12 plus years ago at the age of 46 plus. So now it's maybe 16 plus years ago. To do the thing that I love to do, like sharing the Dhamma and helping people. I was also very blessed with a very good family unit with a lot of love and understanding among ourselves. My relationship with all my loved ones, friends and colleagues are very cordial and good too. Last but not least, I was also blessed with a fairly good past, and which had enabled me to have the requisite spiritual understanding to complement my materialistic success in life. Over the last 20 plus years since 1989, I was able to make use of my spiritual understanding and my own personal success in life management to help many people who had affinity with this nature of mind to cope with their life's problem. With this, I will end my today's seminar speech. Thank you so much for your patience and kind attention. So this is the seminar paper. Hopefully you all can go through it slowly for those who are new, so that you can understand how beautiful this Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching is, how it can help you to transform your life, the impact it can have upon humanity. And this one is given free, you know. This is only free lunch that you can find in this universe, because according to the Buddha, he said this Dhamma, this teaching is priceless, understand or not, beyond any materialistic price. If you were to fix a price on it, means you do not understand its value. Yeah. And when you fix a price on it, means you are trying to charge people. Yeah. And that is greed. Yeah. Not to say you cannot sell your book. You can. But if your intent is for humanity, then you should give it for free distribution. And if people want to willingly donate, then you can use that donation for whatever activity to help promote the Buddha Sasana and all those things. All these are possible and acceptable. So with that, maybe I finish. Then do you have any question? Now the handphone gave her also. Thank you. You got any question or not? Otherwise we can adjourn for our snack. Oh, I forgot. Today is Chong Ming's birthday. Shall we wish him now or afterwards? Afterwards. Maybe we wish him now first. Then after that. Don't worry. We just want to wish you happy birthday first. Then after that you can continue your rest. Then we will have a small snack. Our usual Tuesday snack. But today we order some nice bihun from Anna. Anna, thank you. Okay. We will together now sing the birthday song. Got birthday cake or not? Otherwise we put a candle on something. Oh, got power. No problem. I think I know what to do. Okay. We can actually put the candle on the lotus. Then he blow it on the lotus. More meaningful. Okay, let us sing our birthday boy a very beautiful birthday song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Chong Ming. Happy birthday to you. The Cantonese version, I don't know. Maybe the mother sing, Come, Cantonese version. Oh, you're very good at the Cantonese, I remember. Or Chin Hao Ken. Who can sing the Cantonese one? Oh, Joyce not here. Never mind. After we have the simple ceremony. Okay. Anybody wants to share anything on it or ask any question? Today we can end earlier. 15 minutes early. My wife said tomorrow working. We better end now. Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we can have our simple meal, makan session. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakan tu loka sasana. Itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo iminang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo iminang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones, then we can end.